Well, good morning and welcome to 1 hour of Golf Talk. We're calling you to the tee to listen to the Golfers on Golf radio show. It is your show from here in Chicago that focuses on the world of golf from a Chicago and Midwest perspective. And this morning here in studio, I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson alongside PGA Life member Bill Berger, Mike Monroe from the world-famous White Pines Golf Dome, and Chicago area sports journalist Rory Spears. Hey, guys, want to wish everyone a happy Labor Day weekend. Hope you're enjoying the holiday weekend. And in the world of golf, maybe more significantly, it is also Patriot Golf Day weekend, with money being raised throughout the country at golf courses for the Folds of Honor Foundation.
Yeah, Ed, I'll tell you what, it's a good organization, and it starts at the top with Dan Rooney, and you look at some of the people they have. If anybody's ever spent a few minutes around, Army retired Major Ed Polito, who's, missing half of a leg from injuries sustained in Iraq, I'll tell you what, you think you have problems, you spend any time with him, you feel a lot better about yourself. Here's a guy that would have really has a lot to complain about and never does, and is just absolutely a total inspiration and a true hero. He's been decorated by a couple of the top generals, both of our last two presidents, and those are the type of people that work for Folds of Honor, and they do a lot for the veterans out there, and this is a good time to show our support for those people.
Yeah. You know, as you said, Rory, they do a lot, but I think the simple version is they have a scholarship fund for families of individuals that have served our country, been injured, and don't have the means necessarily for their family's education. And as this movement has grown, it's been supported by golf in a lot of different ways. I know that at the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County Golf Courses, our three golf courses have a promotion running where if you make any donation along with your paid greens fee, you get a nice coupon promotion to come back at a discounted rate yet this year. And it comes in all versions. Our producer and resident golf nut here, Big John Vick, was telling us about an event in New Berlin, Wisconsin, where significant funds were raised as part of a shotgun event on Patriot Golf Day. And, a variety of efforts out there. And kudos to the USGA, the PGA, the Folds of Honor, for and really the golf community for getting behind this.
I do want to say that, this started off as a one-day thing, Patriot Golf Day. But now, realistically, the courses are doing this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and it has sort of turned into Patriot Golf Weekend. So if you're heading out to your favorite course this afternoon or tomorrow, yes, you can still donate.
Yeah, absolutely. So by all means, I'm sure they'll let you know what they have going on, but check in, get behind a great cause, and otherwise get ready to enjoy this holiday weekend. You know, the other thing, of course, that we're into now as we get to late August is the playoffs. We're into the playoffs for golf, and it feels a little different this year, guys, since the Chicago area won't be part of the playoffs. The BMW Championship is not in Chicago this year, but we've got the FedEx Cup playoffs for the tour, as well as the Ryder Cup coming up yet this year.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, next year, though, it promises to be an exciting year for golf here in Chicago. I mean, not only do you have the BMW coming back to Conway Farms, but we've got the U.S. Amateur, we've got the Western Amateur, and it seems like we got one other thing coming. I know in 2016
we've got the Encompass will still be here.
The Encompass will be back.
And then also out at Rich Harvest Farms, they'll have the Western Amateur, but they're also going to have the Palmer Cup. So two major amateur golf events out at Rich Harvest Farms, one in June, one in August.
Yeah, so lots to look forward to next year, which will be coming by before you know it, guys.
Well, it's unbelievable. You know, we're into, I think, week 20 here, Rory, of our season. We're, of course, here on Sunday mornings from 9 to 10, talking about the world of golf with you. And we do that certainly during the while the season's going here in Chicago. Of course, the news doesn't stop. Website side of Golfers on Golf is going year-round, and stories between the broadcasts. And I know one of those that we'll be looking forward to talking about later this show is, of course, recapping the Illinois PGA Section Championship, a familiar name getting etched on the trophy again this year. Bill, you ever heard of Mike Small?
Did I pick him or something?
He'd be a smart pick. Rory, how many times has Mike Small, of course, the talented coach from the University of Illinois, How many times has he etched his name on major championships here in Illinois?
Well, he's got 11 section championships.
Crazy.
And he has 4 Illinois Opens, and he's won the IPGA match play once. So he has got what the IPGA calls 16 majors in the state of Illinois, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him win a couple more before his time is done. It was an interesting week at Stonewall Orchard. You know, they were battling rain delays for 2 straight days and trying to finish each day before dark. And on Monday, 10 players didn't finish. The second day, the last 2 groups basically finished in the dark to get done. And then it was, you know, finally Wednesday, the players got a better day to play. And Steve Orrick from the Country Club of Decatur, who went into the final round 5 shots back, went out and put up a really nice score. He birdied about 4 of the first 6 holes and ended up shooting 66. And then Mike Small just shot 66 right on top of him. So when it was all said and done, Mike Small still had a 5-shot victory.
Good. Well, hey, lots to come in this hour of Golf Talk. I know we'll be checking in with Titleist about their product line, which will launch. And we'll be checking in with Kiwa Island, Roger Warren, a Illinois native, who has been the president of that amazing resort out of Kiwa Island. So and of course more conversation on the section championships. So plenty to come. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back with more Golfers on Golf Radio.
You'll make a double, but don't worry. I keep swinging.
If you haven't tested your golf game at the Arrowhead Golf Club in Wheaton, what are you waiting for? Now is the time. All 3 nines are back up and running from the Greg Martin renovation that has the golf course both challenging and more fun than ever to play, even for the higher handicappers. Golfers will enjoy the classic look squared off design tee boxes and the newly redone bunkers with the white tour sand. Want to hit a bucket or get some practice in? Arrowhead has a great practice facility, and Arrowhead is also home to one of the best 19th holes in the Chicagoland area. Enjoy the patio that overlooks the finishing holes of the golf course. So come on out and enjoy the Arrowhead Golf Club located on Butterfield Road in Wheaton. Call 630-653-5800. That's 630-653-5800. Or visit arrowheadgolfclub.org. That's arrowheadgolfclub.org for tee times and more.
DuPageGolf.com is the internet home for the Forest Preserve District of DuPage Golf Facilities, including Oak Meadows in Addison, Maple Meadows in Wooddale, and Green Meadows in Westmont. Enjoy fabulous golf at Forest Preserve prices, including the historic Oak Meadows layout where golf legend Ben Hogan won the 1941 Chicago Open. Learn about DuPage Golf's 2 18-hole championship courses, 2 9-hole value courses, and our all-grass tee practice range featuring PGA and LPGA golf instruction. DuPage Golf's best internet specials are only on DuPageGolf.com. Find online tee times and more at DuPageGolf.com.
Golfers, if you want to play an old classic-style golf course that's only found in Chicago at the private clubs, drive north just under 3 hours from downtown Chicago and play the Courses of Lawsonia in Green Lake, Wisconsin. Lawsonia has 36 holes. The oldest course is the 1930 classic Chicago architect William Langford-designed Lynx course and the 1980s Rocky Rockamore-designed Woodlands course. Now under the management of Oliphant Golf, Lawsonia has redesigned the 19th hole and created the Langford Pub. Stay and plays are now available, so head north and play the courses that the members of Chicago's top private clubs make the trek north to play. Visit Lawsonia Golf online at lawsonia.com or call 920-294-3320. That's 920-294-3320.
All right, it's 9:09. You're tuned in to Golfers on Golf Radio here with Rory Spears, Mike Monroe, Bill Berger. I'm Ed Stevenson, and lots to come yet this hour It's hard to believe we're getting into late summer, and already I think a lot of folks are starting to make their plans for their equipment for even next season, Rory.
Yeah, it's that's very true, Ed. And a reminder, this segment is sponsored by Arrowhead Golf Club, located on Butterfield Road in Wheaton. 27 holes in one of the great 19th or maybe 28th holes in Chicago. See arrowheadgolfclub.org. And, you know, Ed, I'll tell you, you know, some companies, they're constantly putting out new stuff. You barely get used to your new stuff, and 6 months later, they've already got something else. But with Titleist, a lot of their clubs, they sort of come out with something about every 2 years. And to find out more about the new 915 line that includes driver fairway woods, a hybrid, and also something new on the Scotty Cameron custom putter front, this week I caught up with local Titleist rep Kent Sands, and we discussed all the new clubs that they're bringing out this fall.
Titleist coming out every couple years with a new Metawood. Our company's philosophy has always been 2-year life cycles. You know, we're not a company that changes things every 4 to 6 months, and it's proven to be a pretty good business plan. And we are ready to come out and launch the new Titleist 915 Metalwood line. It's going to be available to the general public on November 15th. We rolled it out originally, Rory, at the tournament out in Washington, D.C., at Congressional about 6 weeks ago. Worked with about 25 of our staff members on Monday afternoon and Tuesday morning, and 18 of them put it into play on Thursday, which is a pretty good sign for the new 915 metal. What it is, Rory, is we're still offering the D2 and the D3. The D2 is the 460 head. It's the one that tends to be a little bit more forgiving. It's going to launch the ball a little bit higher. And then the D3 is the 440cc head, and that's going to launch it a little bit lower, and it's going to have a little bit lower spin rate. What we've done with this new Metalwood, Roy, is developed what we call an active recoil channel. And what that is on the bottom of the sole is a channel that runs from the toe to the heel on the bottom part. And what that does, that enables the face to actually flex at impact, and that creates a lower spin rate on the face, and also it increases ball speeds on the lower part of the face. Because if you think about it, Rory, most players, when they hit a metalwood, they tend to come at it too steeply instead of hitting it on the upswing, and they hit the bottom part of the club, and that creates a higher spin and lower ball speeds. This active recoil channel addresses that situation. The other two things they've done, Rory, is they developed a new radial speed face technology. And it's a new material that they're using, and it enables us to make the face towards the toe and towards the heel a little bit thinner, which increases ball speeds. So on those off-center hits that we all tend to do from time to time, you're not going to get penalized as badly. And the third thing we did to make this product good is come out with a new design. It's a high moment of inertia design by keeping the center of gravity of the golf club as close to the neutral axis as possible. When you do that, that increases moment of inertia. It raises ball speeds all over the face, and it also resists twisting, so you're going to hit it a little bit more accurately.
Kent, if somebody had a Titleist 913 driver or a 909 driver that they bought over the last, say, 2 to 5 years, what do you think it will be the biggest difference that they will notice?
You know, Roy, that's a really good question. And I'll go back, as I've told some of my customers already that I've shown it to, you know, dating back to the 905, the 907, the 909, the 910, the 913, five driver launches that I can remember just in the last 8 to 10 years, when we would go to a sales meeting and we'd hit the new product, you know, we'd go on the range and hit it, and yeah, you know, felt great, you know, launch was good, the spin seemed good, but you really couldn't tell a dramatic difference from model to model. When I hit this for the first time out at Pinehurst about 4 weeks ago, it was dramatic. I could tell right away that the ball spun less, the face felt hotter. It just tended to, you know, jump off the face quicker. It sounded hot, and I could really tell right away that our R&D department had come up with something very, very special. And players that are using previous generation Titleist drivers, which are great drivers, But this new 915 is something really special, and they'll be able to tell right away that this is something unique, and it's something they want to, that they're definitely going to want to try as soon as they possibly can.
Kent, sometimes we hear new products are going to be beneficial for the low handicap player or the high handicap player. Do you feel that this product, this driver, is beneficial to anybody regardless of the skill level of your game?
Absolutely, Roy. And that's where that high moment of inertia design comes into play. You know, getting that center of gravity as close as you can to that neutral axis, it's going to enable a player of any skill level to be able to benefit from this design. It's going to enable that player to get, you know, have faster ball speeds regardless of where they hit it on the face, and they're going to hit it more accurate.
Kent, tell us a little bit about the fairway woods. Obviously, it's not just a new driver. You've kind of got a full line of woods. What do the new woods bring to the table? And tell us about some of the different lofts that are going to be available, because sometimes the degrees of loft change a little bit as products come and go.
In the new 915, Roy, we're going to have the F and also the FD. The F is a little bit larger head design. It's going to be very, very easy to get up in the air. It's going to, you know, when you look down at the thing, it just instills confidence when you see it because it sets so very, very nicely on the ground. The FD is a little bit smaller profile, a little bit deeper face, and that's going to be for the player that tends to hit it very high and puts a lot of spin on it. Generally, players with really high ball speeds and players that go out there real aggressively tend to go towards the FD. And players with more moderate swing speeds and, you know, average players will tend to go towards the F. The same design characteristics are in the fairway woods and the hybrids as they are in the drivers, where they've got that active recoil channel and got the face insert and all the bells and whistles. And it's a great, great fairway and hybrid lineup, Roy. The fairway woods are going to come in 13.5 degree loft, 15, 16.5, 18, and 21. The 915 FD will come in the 13.5 and 15 degree loss.
Well, Kent, it seems like the last part of this rollout here coming in November will be the new hybrid club. And for people who play hybrids, what are they going to see out of this? And how might this improve somebody's game as well?
Boy, the look of the hybrid on the new 915 is just outstanding. And you set the thing down, it just looks like it's easy to hit. And a hybrid should be easy to hit for a player. You know, that's why they're substituting, you know, long irons for hybrids now, because they're just easier to hit, easier to get up in the air. So when you set the new 915 hybrid down, it just looks very easy to hit. The new active recoil channel technology is in play with the hybrid. They're going to be able to get up in the air very easily. The lofts available in the new 915H are going to be 18 degree, 21, 24, and 27. We also make a 915HD that'll complement the FD fairway and the D3 driver. And that's going to come in 17.5, 20.5, and 23.5 degree lofts.
Well, Kent, we've heard the saying in golf for a long time, drive for show, putt for dough. And it sounds like Titleist custom putter maker Scotty Cameron has been busy as well. Is he adding something new to the line?
He's come out with a new Futura X5 model. And it's really a cool-looking putter. It's got the wings on the back of the thing. It's got a really beautiful sight line on there that's, you know, very easy to line up the golf ball towards your target. It's it comes in a regular 5 model and also a 5R where those wings are more rounded, you know, for the player that likes that look. Also going to be available in the dual balance model. So 3 new models in the Scotty Cameron line to complement the Studio Select models we've got in the Futura X model and the Dolo models that we've come out with this year.
It sounds like several great new products coming out for the golfer. They'll be out later in the year, maybe just in time for somebody to pick up for their favorite golfer for the holidays. And before they come out at some point, will there be more information available on the Titleist website and also at places where people buy their golf clubs?
Yes, they will, Roy. With the November 15th rollout, you'll see our website will probably go live with all the new products probably around the middle of October to the 1st of November. And then as golfers go into the golf shops, there'll be information that we will provide them, written information they can take home and they can read about the new product just in time to, you know, get them excited for Christmas and for the 2015 season.
And just in time for all of us up here in the Chicagoland area to head off to our favorite indoor golf facilities, including places like the White Pines Golf Dome for those demo days, and be able to get those clubs ordered all winter long.
We'll be doing one event probably each month at the White Pines Golf Dome. So we will be we will have the new 915s with us, so folks will be able to hit that probably early part of December.
All right, that was Rory's interview with Kent Sands from Titleist, hearing about the new product lines coming up. And Rory, sounds like a lot of good information from Kent.
Yeah, it definitely was. And a reminder, this segment has been sponsored by the Arrowhead Golf Club, located on Butterfield Road. 27 holes renovated by Greg Martin. Visit arrowheadgolfclub.org. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with our next guest, Roger Warren from Kiawah Island, right after this.
Hey golfers, let's talk about Cantini Golf in Wheaton. The place is a golfer's paradise. 27 beautiful holes, a year-round golf academy, and even a nine-hole course just for kids. The best caddy program around, plus terrific hospitality, are like icing on the cake. For every kind of golfer, including those just learning the game, it's always a great day at Cantini. Check it out. Book a tee time today. CantiniGolf.com. That's CantiniGolf.com. Golfers, if you'd like to play one of the Chicagoland area's top public golf courses, why not check out Shepherd's Crook Golf Club, located on Green Bay Road in Zion. Shepherd's Crook is a Keith Foster-designed links-style golf course that has been compared to some of Ireland's great courses like Ballybunion, Waterville, and Lahinch. Shepherd's Crook is also easy on your wallet, both on and off the golf course. Whether it's the affordable green fees, food or beverage on the course or in the grill, or great pro shop merchandise. Shepherd's Crook is also perfect for your outing, whether it's for business, charity, or personal. Shepherd's Crook is located on Green Bay Road in Zion, and for more information, you can call 847-872-2080 or visit the course's website at shepherdscrook.org. That's Shepherd's Crook Golf Club in Zion.
When you win national awards like Golf Magazine's Renovation of the Year, Golf Digest's Best New Course Renovation, and Golf Range Magazine's Top 50 Ranges, you know that you've done something right. Mistwood Golf Club, highlighted by a 67-acre rock-walled lake and St. Andrews-style sidewall bunkers. Mistwood brings a feeling of Scotland to the Midwest. Mistwood's changes include added tour length, completely redesigned third hole with an island-feeling green, new state-of-the-art performance center featuring teaching tools that the tour players use, like TrackMan, Sam Putt Lab, FlightScope, and Quintech Ball Roll Analysis System. Completely custom fit and built golf clubs. We can match any manufacturer's head with any manufacturer's shaft. Mistwood has the distinct honor of the highest rating for Illinois golf courses by Golf Digest Best Places to Play. Some tee times are available, but they're filling fast, so don't delay. You can book online at mistwoodgc.com or call 815-254-3333. Mistwood Golf Club in Romeoville. Significantly renovated, completely perfected.
All right, it's 9:23, and you're tuned in to Golfers on Golf Radio. We're taking a look at the world of golf from a Chicagoire perspective. Here in studio, it's Rory Spears, Mike Monroe, Bill Berger, I'm Ed Stevenson, and we want to thank you for spending some of your holiday weekend with us. Hopefully you'll get out soon to one of the courses supporting the Patriot Golf Day weekend. And Rory, a lot of great organizations like the PGA of America are fully in the fold, behind the folds of honor, to support that cause.
Yeah, it is Patriot Golf Weekend, and we hope everybody going out to the golf courses will support it. Reminder, this segment sponsored by Cantini Golf in Wheaton. 27 championship holes and a nine-hole course for kids. Visit CantiniGolf.com. Our next guest, a lot of Chicago golfers will remember him from his time at the Seven Bridges Golf Club out in the western suburbs. He is now the president of the Kiawah Island Resort and also the past president of the PGA of America. And with that, we're thrilled to have joined us, Roger Warren. Roger, how are you this morning?
Roy, I'm good. How are you all there in Chicago?
Hey, Roger.
Doing great, Roger.
Good weather for a change up here. It's been a crazy summer, Roger. We don't get the great weather that you get down there near Charleston.
Well, if you consider 95 degrees, sunny, and humid, yeah, we have that all summer, basically. But it's a beautiful day here today. We're getting into some of our best time of the year to play golf and visit the area. But you got to like hot.
Well, hot's okay, Roger. We've seen our fair share of rain here, and I know you're no stranger to some of the weather conditions we get to see here, being an Illinois native and the time you spend here between Village Links of Glen Ellen, of course, Seven Bridges. But, you know, you get that 95 and hot, you don't have that winter extreme that we get.
No. I have to say, honestly, I miss a lot of things about Chicago, but I don't miss the winters at all. Although last year, I don't think anybody in this country was had the kind of winter that they wanted with the bad weather and the first quarter experience for everybody. So hopefully this next winter, it's going to be a little bit milder and we won't have to experience what we did last year.
Roger, it's been an interesting summer in the golf industry. I know there's been a couple of media stories. There's also been a major sporting goods chain that let go of their PGA professionals. When you read some of the stuff, positive and negative at this point, what's been your take on the golf industry as you look at it in general?
Wow, that's really a broad question, and I know we can go off into a lot of different areas. I think that I find it interesting, frankly, having been in the golf industry as long as I have, the angst that's still going on. I know there are a lot of people who are struggling, but there's also a lot of people in this business who are doing better than they've been doing in the past. It's getting better in some areas. And so I get discouraged sometimes because I think that we spend a lot of time talking about doing some things different with the game that I just don't think we should talk about. I think that the game is a great game. It's always going to be a great game. It's always taken 4 hours to play. It's hard to play. You got to work hard to learn how to do it. But when you get out there, you have a shot or two that you hit, and you like it, and you're going to keep coming back. And you know, and if you're a person who wants to play golf right now, you've got a number of great opportunities. And the overall cost of golf is probably as low as it's been in the last 20 years to play golf. So yeah, I kind of get caught up in this. I don't want to be one of these naysayers and doomsday guys because I think there's a lot of positive, but I do think we still have some problems that we've got to deal with, but I'm not sure that the large national approach to trying to help change the economics of golf are going to work as much as it's going to be people on a local level trying to help their own businesses themselves.
You know, Bill Berger, Roger, how are you?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Good. You know, I agree with you on changing golf, and like to keep it pretty much the same. But it seems like a lot of new ideas coming out from people. The tradition of golf they don't know that or whatever it is. I agree with you. And long time ago, working at Itasca Country Club, when we had a bad outing day, we said we got too many bowlers playing golf. You know, so. Where do you think that's going? You know, the outfit out of Atlanta that has the kids, where you can drop a ball or, not count a shot. And, I volunteered for a few of those. Team events that they're going to have. What's your spin on that?
Well, Bill, I think there have been a lot of people who have looked at the landscape of golf and what it is. And they're trying to find solutions, and right now they're trying to throw anything on the wall to see what sticks. I understand business owners. Let's take, for example, foot golf. Foot golf is not golf. We shouldn't even talk about it as a golf
thing. Isn't it true?
Thank you.
It's a game. It's a recreational use of land that may have been used for golf. That if it generates revenue for a landholder who's got the land to do it, great. But it's not golf. And I think we spend too much time trying to talk about it as a solution to golf when what we need to talk about is the game of golf. And I was interested by the recent relaxed golf rules that one of the TV channels is trying to promote as a great new way to approach the game. We've been doing that forever. Most guys who played at the Village Links or at Seven Bridges when I played there played relaxed golf. they played by all the rules they're talking about simply because that was what they wanted to do and chose to do. And I know the USGA probably doesn't like it because it kind of, it begins to invalidate the handicap system when you do that. But I don't see anything wrong with that. But I don't think it's anything new. I think it's something we've been doing for a long time. Anything that allows people to enjoy their round of golf and have fun is important. But at any individual golf course, the most important thing today, I believe, that we should focus on is the customer that you have. When you take care of that customer, when you make them feel special, when you make sure that they understand that you want them back, that's how you're going to build the base for the future. I do remember the days in Chicago back in the mid-'80s to the early 90s when there was an attitude of, we got more golfers than we need, we really don't have to take care of people. Well, those days are gone, and frankly, they're never coming back because we built too many golf courses in the Chicago area. From the time that I started at the Village Links until I left in 2003 from Seven Bridges, there were 100 new public golf courses built in the metropolitan Chicago area. Yeah. That you can't sustain it, and that was a mistake. And a lot of people are paying for that mistake right now because they own golf courses that aren't producing. But eventually, just by the laws of supply and demand, we'll get back to what the workable number of golf courses is in this country, and the people who own them will do fine. There will be the unfortunate fallout of people who will fall away from the business, but that's just a business cycle. It happens, and I think those who are smart and work hard at it and understand their customer will succeed.
Hey, Roger, Mike Monroe here. Great to have you on the show.
Nice to hear you, Mike.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit, if you would. I mean, one of the places that obviously is doing very well is your resort, the Kiwa Resort. Tell us a little bit about what you're all about, your amenities, and what's the great time of the year to go down there.
Well, I appreciate you saying obviously. I don't know that it's been that. It's been a struggle. We like everybody else back in 2009 when the recession hit this country, had almost a 35% drop-off in our business. Nobody in this country in any business was immune to it. And so as we've come out of that recession, we've changed the way we operate. We've looked at the way we can be more efficient, and we've grown back successfully to where we were before the recession, and that's been a long haul. And I think it's because we do focus on the guests that we have. We're frankly, I think, lucky because the economic strata of the people who play our resort is different than a lot in the country, and those people seem to do pretty well, and they're willing to come and spend their money with us. But we've got five golf courses. We've got the Sanctuary Hotel, which is a five-star luxury hotel, and then we also manage 517 homes and villas for rental. So one of the advantages we have is that we've got a multi-layer offering to people who want to come on a vacation. Plus, beyond golf, we've got tennis and we've got recreation and bikes and hundreds of miles of paths that people can ride. So it is a very special place that people who come here enjoy, and we've been successful so far at keeping our promise to them of having a great experience.
Roger, you hosted a Ryder Cup back in the early 90s, a couple years ago. You had the PGA Championship where the current world number one, Rory McIlroy, won the tournament. What's next in the terms of championships that may or may come to your property?
Well, we've been a long-term PGA facility. We've done the Ryder Cup. We've done a senior PGA, a PGA Championship, as you mentioned. We did the club cup matches for the club professionals. We did the National Club Pro Championship back in 2005. The Ocean Course is an iconic championship golf course, and so I think that what we'll be looking to do is bring back another PGA Championship in the future, and we're having conversations with the PGA of America in that direction, and I think that that will be the next type of event that we'll hold at the Ocean Course.
Roger, tell us a little bit about the PGA of America and what you see coming out of the organization. You've played a big role in for years, and I know this year, we've heard the argument about whether the TV ratings are good if Tiger doesn't play or he's not around for the weekend, but I think that got blown up and put out the window because of the great drama that we had at the PGA Championship in Valhalla. And if you could, talk a little bit about this year's PGA Championship and a little bit about the PGA of America in general.
Well, I'll start with the PGA Championship because I, like everyone else, I watched that and thoroughly enjoyed it, thought it was great competition, was really happy to see the TV ratings being what they were, and certainly on Sunday when you go into prime time and you've got golf on TV until 8 o'clock in the evening with the drama that was going on, you're just going to get a great response, which it shows that great golf and people will watch it. And I think that the PGA Championship of the four majors has seems to have been able to have something really exciting happen every time you have the event, and it didn't disappoint this year at Valhalla. You know, I'm not really in a position to talk about the PGA of America in general, other than to say that I continue to be proud of the members of the PGA of America. You know, the golf professionals that day in and day out interact with the people who play golf around this country, and the guys and girls in the Illinois section of the PGA who are every day working hard to make sure that the people who do come out to a golf course to play or come to a driving range for lessons, they're given quality first-class experience, and they're supporting the game, and they believe in the game and what it means to people, not only as a recreation item, but you know what it means in their lives for kids, to give them a foundation in what rules are and how to have character. And all of that about the game is still here, and PGA professionals everywhere are still supporting that. And I couldn't be prouder of the members of this association for how they go about their jobs on a day-to-day basis. And I think the strength, the organization is not what happens in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. The organization is what happens day-to-day in the golf courses where PGA members are there serving their members and serving their customers and taking care of the game. And I'm proud of that.
Well, Roger, one last question before we let you go. We had the Illinois PGA Section Championship this week, and University of Illinois golf coach Mike Small won his 11th Section Championship. And, Roger, you've been around the game for quite a while. When's the last time you remember a golfer winning the same tournament 11 times?
I think that I don't know of any other situation. Mike Small is a good friend of mine, and I'm proud of him. I'm proud of what he represents to the game. His playing ability, obviously, he proves that every time he wins an event. And certainly in the Illinois section, his reputation earned him the right to be in the Hall of Fame. And I get very proud when I see a guy like Mike Small, who not only can play, but then the way he coaches his team, the fact is that his team is a repeat Big Ten champion, and they've gone to the national championship and played well. He represents what I believe is good about PGA members, and the fact that he is a PGA member says a lot for all PGA members. And I just say that there were years ago that Mike couldn't even be a PGA member until our association realized the value of letting a golf coach in. So I'm proud we made that decision, and I think he's a great example of why he should be a PGA member and what he means to our association.
Well, Roger, hey, points well made, you know, we appreciate the chance to get some of your insight about how service is really something that's going to keep people in the game, and how PGA members can really be part of that entry point. And I think a great point about Mike Small and how years ago he couldn't have been a member. And I think what we've realized collectively is that there are a lot of ways to share this game with people. And, you know, whether we're doing it through this radio show, or Mike Small as a coach at a university, or whether it's providing service at really one of the top resorts in the world, hopefully we can all continue to share this game of golf and keep it healthy for years to come.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And I think that the most important thing as we go forward with this game is that the people who are in it for their love of the game and have grown through this game to love it and want to talk about it and play it and be involved in it, they should be driving the language. They should be driving the effort. They should be framing the discussion in the future, and not people who have come to it tangentially to make money off of it and realize they can't make as much as they thought and want to try to make changes. I think we, the people who love this game, should continue to drive the dialogue.
Amen.
Roger, could you really quickly give us the website information for your resort, or 800 number or something, if people want to come down and visit the beautiful Kiawah Island Resort in Charleston, South Carolina?
Thank you. Our PR guy would have killed me if I didn't get that in. KiawahResort.com.
Okay.
K-I-A-W-A-H resort.com. All the information's there. And I think that if people, interestingly, when I lived in Illinois, I really didn't know anything about the resort until I got a job here. And I would say that The Midwest of Illinois is becoming one of our larger feeder markets, and I would encourage golfers who listen to your show, and I know there are a lot of them, if they want to put a group together or just a couple and come down, it'll be an experience that'll be memorable for them, and I know they'll come back because they'll have a lot of fun.
And when we get rid of our own 95 and humid, we know you're going to be hanging on to something better than we've got here. So
yeah,
we'll look forward to having some of our listeners, lots of our listeners, come your way and enjoy the experience.
I really enjoy the opportunity to be on your show. Keep up the great work, you guys. And it's got to be fun to have four of you there doing this every week just to be talking golf.
Yeah, it sure is. And give my best to your son. I hope he survived caddying for both myself and Len Zeem over the past year. That can be an interesting experience.
We had to put him through some therapy, but he's doing okay now.
Roger, take care. Thanks for joining
you
us.
You bet. Take
good
care.
Luck,
Roger.
All right. That's Roger Warren, the president of the Kiawah Island Resort. And I had a chance to spend a couple of days there in January. And as we know, the weather can change when you're on the ocean. But anyway, it was a great experience. This segment was sponsored by Cantini Golf in Wheaton, home of the Chicago Open, coming this October. Visit CantiniGolf.com. We're back with more right after this at Golfers on Golf Radio.
Here I stand in morning. There's just nothing falling.
Hey, golfers, let's talk about Cantini Golf in Wheaton. The place is a golfer's paradise. 27 beautiful holes, a year-round golf academy, and even a nine-hole course just for kids. The best caddy program around, plus terrific hospitality, are like icing on the cake. For every kind of golfer, including those just learning the game, it's always a great day at Cantini. Check it out. Book a tee time today. CantiniGolf.com. That's CantiniGolf.com.
The best players in the world will compete at Erin Hills near Milwaukee, the site of the 2017 U.S. Open. In the meanwhile, don't miss your chance to play a public access U.S. Open course. Just a two-hour drive from Chicago, Erin Hills is perfect for a day trip or an overnight golf getaway with a variety of rooms, suites, cottages, and wonderful food. Visit erinhills.com for more information and plan a world-class experience.
If you were hitting a golf ball.
All right, we're back. It's 9:42, and here in studio this morning for Golfers on Golf Radio, I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson from the Forest Preserve District of DuPage Golf Courses. We have life member of the PGA, Bill Berger, from Jake's Pizza on Grand. Bill, a great golfer, and Bill, I got to say, probably even better thin crust pizza at Jake's on Grand. We have Mike Monroe from the world famous White Pines Golf Dome, and Rory Spear, Chicago area sports journalist, not only with GolfersOnGolf.com, but we've seen you in Val Russell's paper this month for Chicagoland Golf. We'll be talking more about that in a minute, but tell us about this segment, Rory.
Yeah, this segment is sponsored by the Golf Courses of Lawsonia in Green Lake, Wisconsin. 36 holes with stay-and-plays now available. See Lawsonia.com. Lawsonia Golf, just under 3 hours from downtown Chicago.
Well, guys, we've been talking about how fast the summer has gone. Here it is, late August. We're into the holiday weekend, and we'll be wrapping into September shortly. And one of the sure signs that September is right around the corner, in fact, almost here, was I was out actually in DeKalb last night at River Heights Golf Course, and I saw the ink, I think, still wet on the September issue of the Chicagoland Golf publication. Of course, our partner in print is Val Russell, been on the show many times, and he's been kind enough to join us again this morning, guys, to check in and tell us a little bit more about the September issue. Hey, Val, welcome back to Golfers on Golf Radio.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, it was, again, I think a shock to the system slightly to see the word September up above, but I think the timing with the holiday weekend was just right to get Chicagoland Golf out in front of the many golfers that will hopefully be out to play over the holiday weekend.
Yes, we tried to get this one out in time for this weekend, and I think we accomplished most of those. So if you're out and about, I think you'll be able to find a copy at your local golf course.
Well, Val, I was getting ready to craft you an email this morning, and I'm glad I get to talk to you here in live instead. You've been following up on this this story about the keys to survival for golf and the state of public golf. And you had a great feature in August. You followed up with part two here in September, and additionally had some other editorial language in there to really address maybe what the golf industry needs to do to continue to stay more relevant, healthy, and bring people to the game. And I thought you did a great job with it, Val.
Well, thank you. And one of the things in looking at my research, Ed, was I think something that a number of public municipal golf courses, and I'm going to address that to municipal golf courses, have gotten away from their basics and tried to become these made-for-TV type golf courses, and that certainly doesn't apply to all of them, but one of those things that really struck me was if we're going to get new people back into golf, they need to have some place to play. And somebody new that's out there trying to figure out how this game works may not want to go out and pay $60 or $70, $80 to play golf. And I think the municipal golf courses, as I tried to point out, need to get back to the basics and keep their prices down. And I think that's an area the PGA could support to make sure that we have enough places to bring new people into golf, because a new golfer is not going to spend the kind of money that some of these golf courses require.
You know, Val, good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on. It's Mike Monroe. You know, but I think so much is focused on the price to play golf, but in reality, you know, there's a lot of other expenses there. If you buy a sleeve of golf balls these days, it may be, you know, $15 for three golf balls. You buy a driver, it may be $400 for a driver. You know, I think we got to be a little more realistic when it comes to some of the other expenses. People don't need to spend $15 for a sleeve of golf balls. They don't need to spend $400 for a driver. There's lots of ways to keep the game of golf a lot less expensive, and it's not totally the the green fee that you pay every time you go out.
Well, absolutely, Mike, and I think if you go out to some of the discount stores or various different locations where you can buy golf equipment, there are still those good deals that are out there. You can still buy a set of irons for $125, and they may not be the Pings or the Nikes or the Callaways that you're talking about, a $400 driver, but that's something people aspire to after they've played golf for a while and figured out, you know, that those kinds of things can make a difference. I think there's still that there. The pricing element can still, you know, be down where the average person can get out and learn how to play golf.
You know, the other thing too, Val, is, at least it seemed like 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago, a lot of people that were playing golf, they would just grab a push cart and go play. And now it seems like the focus is you've got to take a golf cart. In fact, a lot of the golf courses that got built have made it almost impossible to walk a golf course. What are your thoughts in terms of walking and riding?
Well, walking is one of the best exercises you can get. And if you can combine that with getting out in the fresh air and a beautiful golf course, and let's face it, even the municipal golf courses are beautiful, being out in the trees and the fresh air, and walking is something that I think a lot of people could really get into with the game of golf, because there's not a whole lot of other sports out there where you can go out and you're not overstrenuating yourself, or the stress of walking is not that difficult. Most people can do it.
Well, and you know, going full circle to a point that you made in your article that our listeners can certainly read when they pick up their copy of Chicagoland Golf, there was a different level of maintenance and I think a different set of expectations from the consumer in the 80s and of course, and in the 70s as well. And that was a period of time that golf experienced tremendous growth. And instead of municipal courses that had you know, triple row irrigation. It might have been tees and greens that were irrigated. The fairways were a little firmer, a little faster, maybe not quite as closely mown as the local country club, but simply a different set of expectations for the golfer. And yet the game was still fun. It was affordable. And I think that's part of if I understood you, Val, that's part of where you're going in terms of recalibrating some of the expectations back to the way it was during a period when a lot of people came to this game.
Well, and let's face it, as a municipal golf course, I think they should be striving to be what the local populace wants to have in the form of a golf course. Are they looking for something that's going to be a top 20, 30, 40 golf course in the state of Illinois? Probably should not. And, you know, the quality of the golf course, I think, should be tempered back to let's make them as economical as you can possibly have them. If that brings the price back down, well, that's great, but it may not at this point in time. There are a lot of factors involved with doing that, and I wasn't trying to take pot shots at anybody.
Of course.
Merely make the statement that have we gotten away from the basics with our municipal golf courses and trying to make sure that we have a place for new people that can come out and play golf?
You know, one of the things that I'm enjoying seeing, Val, and I'm sure you'll agree with it, I know White Pines has a nice deal, and Oak and Maple Meadows, there's some specials now where if you go out with a junior golfer, the whole family or the whole, you know, the juniors as well as the adults can get a pretty good deal. Eddie, I mean, what do you have going?
Yeah, you know, we have a family golf promotion on weekend afternoons at Maple Meadows East and at Green Meadows, where the catch is that the adults, if a junior brings an adult, the adult gets to play for the junior price. So you know, you've got a junior rate of $11, and with the family golf special, we include a pull cart. But if the junior brings the adult, it can be mom, dad, and grandpa. It can be three adults. They get to play at the family golf times for that junior's rate.
Mm-hmm. And give us your thoughts on that.
Well, Mike, there are several golf courses that I've noticed that have the family type products coming in the late afternoons. Which, let's face it, that's probably a time when they're not as busy as they are at the weekend, certainly the weekend mornings or even the morning hours during the week. And finding something that attracts golfers in there and brings parents and kids out to play golf, you know, what a great way to spend time with your folks. You know, you're 11 years old and your dad wants to take you out on the golf course. I can't think of anything that's a better time than spending with your child and the two hours, three hours out on the golf course is a great time to get out and do those kinds of things.
But Val, I mean, what do you mean? You could, of course, organize a father-son Cubs game, and you could spend an hour in traffic, and you could spend $40 for parking, spend about another $40 on a hot dog and a couple Pepsis, and don't even have the tickets yet, and the game might be played. I think baseball games, Rory, now last, what, about 3.5-4 hours now with TV timeouts? So I don't know.
And if your kid needs that Clark the Mascot experience on the north side, you'll be opening your wallet again.
So, of course, I'm being facetious, Val, but, you know, that's where in terms of recreational dollars, I think golf has such an opportunity to create quality family time, which I think is what you're addressing.
I absolutely. And the more we can do that, and the more the municipal courses do that, the more they involve their community and the types of services they have. And let's face it, every park district, every city, township has a number of services that they offer to their community, golf being one of those, but pools and soccer and baseball parks. And my wife rides horses, horse parks. There's places out there where you can go ride your horse. Those are all things that make the community better, and golf courses are just like any one of those.
Hey, guys, now that we have Val on here, we've only got about 6 minutes left. Big decision, Tom Watson, coming up on Tuesday. Ryder Cup picks. He's got three choices. Maybe we start with Eddie, see what your thoughts are. Who should we go with, or Billy or myself? And see if we can't get them right.
Well, I'm going to defer to you. I remember going back in our picking order when we were picking for some of the majors earlier this year, and I learned an important lesson. Who gets to pick in which order can have a big difference in how these results work out. And Big John Vick is still smiling because I think he still owns Rory McIlroy as his permanent pick for all majors. But Rory will be on the other team for this Ryder Cup.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to start off. I think this year, unlike some of the other years, it's down to about three or four or five people. Hunter Mahan won last week. He was kind of in the mix, but I think with him winning last week I think that nails him down as one of the people. Everybody likes Keegan Bradley. He fires everybody up. I think Keegan's going to be in there. And then last pick, unless he really plays bad today, you've got Ryan Palmer leading in the Dutch Bank Championship. I assume he's going to do pretty well again today. So I think he's my third pick.
I think I'd agree with that, Mike. And there's been a number of the pundits out there that have included Brant Snedeker. And Brant didn't make the cut this week and doesn't seem to be playing very well. So I think that takes him out of it entirely.
Yeah, I think, Val, I agree. In some ways, you need to go with the hot hand, and especially we're getting in close now. And, you know, in all things, we've been talking about the golf economy having an ebb and flow in cycles. Well, hey, you know, people's momentum, even competitive golf, has an ebb and flow, and you want to catch that guy, Billy, who maybe is on an upswing and starting to get hot for a little while.
Well, excuse me, I think that I kind of agree with Money Monroe on this, a little bit of his picks. But to throw controversy in, Snedeker and Watson become great friends, so they do a lot of commercials together. So there would be a lot of heat on Watson not to pick Snedeker. And, you know, I'm a Snedeker fan, but I don't know. I think Palmer and Mike's picks are probably should supersede Snedeker, but it'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting, yeah.
To see what kind of friendship Tom Watson and Snedeker really have.
And Snedeker's a great putter, too.
Yeah, what about if he's healthy? I know he had to pull out of the PGA Championship, but that's 3 weeks ago already. What's the status on Jason Duffner? Do we know if he's making a comeback at this point? Is he healthy enough to play? Or nobody said whether he's talked to Tom Watson at all and said, I can go, I can't go. Where's that all at? That's a big question, too. Because I think he's in the mix if he's healthy to go.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he was borderline qualifying just by himself. And, you know, he's a major winner, won the PGA last year. So he's got to be up at the top of the list as well. You know, and then you also have Webb Simpson, who former U.S. Open champion, who's he's playing very well this week as well. So it's going to be an interesting selection.
Glad I'm not Tom Watson. And I thought, you know, any of us, Val, who've spoken much with Rory Spears, I think we were all convinced he was going to make one final plea for Tiger to reconsider his health status and perhaps come back and play in this Ryder Cup. Rory, how are they going to do it without Tiger?
I think they got a better shot of winning without Tiger. I'm disappointed that Steve Stricker's not healthy to play. He's going to be one of the assistant captains, but for a while there, Tom Watson was telling him, bring your clubs, we might need you. And then Steve's got a couple injuries, and he shut it down for a couple of months as well. So, unfortunately, he can't be a captain's pick.
Well, I think Tiger did the right thing in the end, kind of pushing himself out and not creating the controversy, because he's just not played up to where we all expect Tiger to play.
Well, exactly, and I think it was actually good sportsmanship just to end that controversy early on and let Tom Watson go about his business of being the captain. So, you know, lots to look forward to. In the meanwhile, we have the FedEx Cup and the playoffs. And, you know, Val, what do you think? I know you talked to a lot of people in the golf community. Has the public embraced this idea of playoffs for golf?
Oh, I think so. I think it's rather exciting, and getting all these people to play this time of year. If you go back, what's it been, 5-6 years that the FedEx Cup's been around, that a lot of these guys took the last couple of months of the season off because they didn't need to play.
Right.
And putting this together, $10 million, but potentially the winner here in a couple weeks of $11.4 million on one payday, that's got to have everybody excited.
Well, it is exciting, and hey, we're excited about the month of September. We want to thank you, Val Russell, the publisher of Chicagoland Golf Magazine, for jumping in and joining us to talk about the September issue. We'll tell our listeners to head out to your favorite pro shop and pick up a copy. And with that, Val, hey, we're up against the back end of the hour, so we're going to thank you, as well as our guests Roger Warren, Kent Sands, and Big John Vick, our producer. And everyone, go enjoy Patriot Golf Weekend. We thank you for tuning in to Golfers on Golf. Find us on